Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. I want to speak to you this afternoon about a heart that praises God. Having a heart that praises God. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about a heart that purposes. A heart that purposes, and we applied that to giving, the area of stewardship and giving our lives and so on to the Lord. I talked about a heart that praises God. First Chronicles chapter number 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. Helen Keller. Do you know who Helen Keller is? She was a blind lady. Not many of you know who Helen Keller is. And I don't know her whole story, but she was a blind lady. And someone once asked her this. What would be worse than being born blind? And she said this, being born with sight, but having no vision. Being born with sight, but having no vision. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29, we catch a glimpse of King David's vision for his kingdom in the final days of his life. It's apparent that before David died, he wanted to do something special for God. David, we know, was a man after God's own heart, and he loved God. He wanted to do something special for God. He wanted to build a temple for God. But we know that God was not going to allow him to do it personally, and that God was going to have his son Solomon do that. But what God did allow was David to prepare for it. And so the temple would be constructed. It would be completed under the reign of David's son Solomon. Notice what the Bible says. Let's stand together and read these verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verses. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 14 to get an idea of the story here. 1 Chronicles 28, 1 to 14. Let's read every other verse responsively. I'll read verse 1 and then you read with me on the even numbered verses, okay? And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, by order, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem together. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and hast made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Isn't that a great phrase? He liked me. He liked me to make me king over all Israel. I'll read verse 5, and then together you read with me verse 6 and so on, okay? And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Together, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern
The blueprints, in other words, the pattern. He gave them exactly, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to build it. The pattern. Of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. You know, the innermost part, the Holy of Holies and so on. Verse 12 together. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. Verse 14. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service. Let's pray. God, help us this afternoon. I pray that you'd open our heart and mind to the truth and to what even this story in the Bible teaches us. And as we see David making preparations for the building of the temple, for the house of God, I pray that you'd teach us this afternoon and speak to our heart. Help me, God, to say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. David gave to Solomon the pattern. He gave to him the building plans for all that God wanted to be done. And David also, we begin to read, he helped to provide much of the gold, much of the resources that would be needed for the construction of the temple. It was in David's heart to build God's house. Back in verse number 2, David said this in the middle of the verse, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the mercy seat and so on. I had it in my heart to do. It was something that was in my heart. It was my vision to do this. It was my heart to do this. It was my desire to do this. David wanted to see a building project completed for God. And the Bible would teach us that his heart was so invested in it that David was also willing with his own hands to give and to personally sacrifice for the building of the temple. It wasn't just something that David, you know, had a vision about or something David thought about doing and think, oh, that would be nice. And here's what I'm going to do. And here's what I'm going to tell the people. And I'm going to go make them do it. I'm the king. No, it was something that was so much in David's heart, something he loved God. He wanted to do something for God, that he was willing to put his own hands to the work. He was willing with his own hands to go into his treasuries and to sacrifice and to give because he wanted to build a temple for God and for the mercy seat, for the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted the house of God to be built. For us to maybe as our own church have our own facility one day, we too must allow God to touch our hearts and our hands. For our missionaries to see their building projects completed, we too must allow God to touch our hearts and to give us open hands, willing hands, giving hands. I'm thankful that people in our church have that. And I just want to see that continue to grow. You know, we were able to have a part in helping the Larises to buy new property. You know, the place where they are now is just a tiny little place where they have to pay rent every month. But we've been able to help them, and some other churches helped, and we were able to buy a nice piece of property on the kind of the main road through that part of the Dominican, and to be able to, and they're trying to make use of that property now in ways they can, because again, the poverty of the people, they've dug a well, they've started to build some walls, they're growing some crops on there to help feed the people. But the next step is you know, saving money and being able to just start to build some structures and some coverings to protect them from the sun and the rain so their church can start to meet there. So that a Bible college can be started on that property. All the we got to see on the Sunday night of the conference, all these men and young people that are giving their lives saying, we want to serve God and we're willing to serve God. For them to begin to be able to be trained to be in the ministry and to start churches across that island. Listen, things like that, God's work always requires resources. It requires money. And for us to continue to have hearts that God would touch and hands that God would touch, that we would be willing to give to see God's work accomplished here in our church and in our town and in this city, this Toronto area, but also around the world. I want God to do that. Have you ever had one of your kids come to you with maybe having a sliver in their hand?
you know what a sliver is? Maybe they get a piece of wood in their hand or something in there. And it hurts and it's painful. But what they sometimes maybe go and do is they go and clench their fist. And they don't let you see it. And they won't let you help them. And in order to maybe, you know, if you're going to help them, you're going to have to almost pry their hand. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. You know, I'm just going to help you, parents say. And you got to kind of pry their fingers loose so that you can maybe work on it and get that sliver out because you love them and you don't want them to be in pain anymore. But sometimes they're afraid. And they don't want to let you do what's going to help them. And so they're clenching their fist. They're holding it tight and closed. Because maybe they're afraid of the pain that will come. You know what? Sometimes Christians are like that when it comes to us and God. You know, God wants to do something in our life to help us. God could do something to bless us. You know, sometimes Christians will keep their hands closed so tightly before a loving Heavenly Father. When the truth is that it's God's delight in replenishing our hand. When we take our hand and we have hands that God touches and hands that God opens and hands that are willing to give to the Lord's work, God's not going to, you know, He's not going to cut your hand off. He wants to replenish you. He wants to love you. He wants to take care of you. I truly believe that if we'll have willing hearts and open hands to give, God will not cause us to lack. You know, the Bible promises that in the book of Psalms, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I think that if a person will trust God and obey God, and if a person will bring their tithes and offerings unto the Lord, if a person will be a giver, I believe that God will take care of their needs. He doesn't promise to make a person rich. He can if he chooses to, but that's not his promise. But he does promise to take care of our need. And I believe that a person that will be a tither and a giver with willing hearts and open hands, that God will take care of that person's needs. One preacher said this, a cold heart and stingy hands often go together. A cold heart and stingy hands, stingy meaning, you know, not willing to give, very stingy, like to cling to things, sticky hands, like to hold on to things. A cold heart and stingy hands often go together. When we look at this story about David, we see a man whose heart was touched. We see a man whose heart was touched. He loved God. And because he loved God and it was in his heart, I want to do this for God. I'm not trying to do something to build my own kingdom. I want to build a house for God and for the Ark of the Covenant, for the mercy seat and so on. Because his heart was touched, what happened then? His hands were open. His hands weren't closed. His hands weren't clenched tightly like, you're not going to get me to give. No. Because his heart was touched, his hands were open. His hands were opened by God with a willingness to give. And David ultimately praised God and recognized, you know what? It's a privilege. God has done so much for me. What a privilege that I can serve God. What a privilege that I can give unto the Lord. I want you to notice a few things here from this story. David's vision to do something for God caused him to purpose from the heart. Again, we read it in verse 2, 1 Chronicles 28:2. I had in my heart. I had in my heart. It was the desire of David's heart to build God's house. And you know what? That was a good desire that David had. If God gives you a desire to give, or God gives you a desire to get involved, if God gives you a desire and you say, I want to be used of God. And I want to be a giver, and I want to serve Christ, and I want to do things for Him. I want my life to count for God. That's always a good desire. Because when it's in your heart, and God puts it in your heart, Bruce, and Elma, and Astrid, and Kyle, and God maybe begins to put something in your heart, that, you know, I want to serve God, I want to live for God, I want God to use me. Those are good desires. Good desires. And we ought to want desires like that. David's purpose was for the Lord. It was a good desire that he had. There was nothing wrong with that desire that he had. His purpose was for the Lord. Look at chapter 29 and verse 1. Chapter 29 and verse 1. He purposed from the heart, and his purpose was for the Lord. His purpose wasn't, I want to do something great so everybody can look and say, hey, look what David did. Look what David built. David wanted God to be glorified. You listening, Eric? David wanted to do something for God. Notice chapter 29 and verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for who? What does the Bible say? But for the Lord God. For the Lord God. I appreciate you, Daisy. You always listen and you respond to me. You listen and you answer me. Some people are sleeping. It's for the Lord God, isn't it? It's for the Lord God. It wasn't for him. The temple was to glorify the Lord. The chief end of man is to glorify God. You know that all that we do should not be done for man. It should be done for the glory of God. Our desire is to glorify Jesus Christ in this church. You know, Gospelite Baptist Church is his church. Now, over the years, you've met the occasional person or somebody might come to visit the church. And they might say something like, you know, Pastor Johnson's church or somebody's church. You know, it's never my church or just your church. It's his church, right? Our church that we get to be a part of, it's God's church and it's God's work that we want to accomplish. It's his church and we should glorify him in all that we do. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 1, and you're familiar with these verses. We read a couple of these verses this morning in our service, but it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him." For him. Next verse. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." It's all about him. We want Christ to have the preeminence. We want God to be glorified in the church. And David's purpose, you know, God, he had this good desire in his heart. He wanted to do something. And it wasn't something for himself. It was something he wanted to do for the Lord. That purpose that he had in his heart was for the Lord. He wanted the Lord to be glorified. He wanted a house to be built for God, for the Lord. I want you to notice something else about his purpose, that it was for the nation. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 8. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 8. It says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." These instructions from David to Solomon, they were given before an assembly. There was a national assembly, if you will. The leadership was all there. All the many people from the nation were gathered there in Jerusalem. And they were all there to listen to this charge from David. And David wanted the nation to be reminded of God. He wanted all the nation to be brought back to God. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Thank God when there is a nation that will honor the Lord, that will exalt the Bible, that will fear God. And sadly, our nations are not honoring God. They're turning from God. I watched some videos that somebody sent. One was pretty interesting. One was from the Philippines, I think in January of 2017, and I don't know if necessarily everything about the Filipino president right now, whatever, is good, but you know what, I think in January 2017, I'm pretty sure it was, that they declared it, you know, the month of the Bible and week of the Bible and all this, and realized that the Bible had had an important part in the Philippines, and it's important to our morals and that sort of thing. Hey, that's a good thing when some people will say that in a nation. Something else that's real exciting, I watched this a video of a church that's helping to send Bibles into Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is a place that, you know, years ago was just, you know, tribal people and very undeveloped, and missionaries had started going there decades ago. It was the type of ministry, kind of like what the Leonards are doing down in the Amazon now. Going into these tribal groups and jungle groups that, you know, hardly wear any clothes. And I mean, they don't know any communication with the outside world. And it was like that. Well, Papua New Guinea has changed and missionaries have gone there and things have happened. And now in Papua New Guinea, there's a great desire for God. And I watched these videos that showed, you know, people that are in the government of the country, people that are in the leadership of all their school systems and so on. They want the Bible. And they want God. And they are saying, come on, bring the Bible. Give us the Bible. They actually, the government ordered for them to go to England and try to buy kind of like an original, almost like one of the original type copies of the King James 1611 Bible. You know, a real old thing and, you know, some big thing. And they went to England and bought it, brought it back, put it in a nice case, and they're putting it right in their government, right in their parliament. They're putting it right there, and they have declared, this is now the book of Papua New Guinea. This is going to be our book as a nation and the importance of it. And they're saying, you bring us the Bible, you can go into the schools, you can teach in the schools, you can give Bible. And so now there are people working on it. They want to get Bibles to all the kids in all the schools in the entire nation. I think that'd be an exciting thing to have a part in. But listen, here's what I'm saying. David's desire here was for the nation. And when a nation seeks the Lord, that's a good thing. David tried to remind the nation with as he spoke to Solomon, with national leadership gathered together, he said, this thing that we want to do, it's not just so everybody can remember something that David built. No, David would be long gone. He said, we're not doing this for me. We're doing this for God. We're doing this for the Lord. But we're doing this for the future of our nation. We're doing this for future generations. We're doing this for those that will come after us. David's purpose was for the nation. You know, why should we build a great church for the glory of God? One reason is because our nation needs revival. Our nation needs good churches. Our nation needs great churches that will preach the Bible and preach the gospel. The hope for our nations is not going to be in Ottawa. The hope for our nation is going to be if there will be great churches that will preach the Bible and preach the gospel. That's our hope for a nation. Society is turning away from God, and the only hope of revival is great churches continuing to preach the Word of God, churches that will stand as a lighthouse in the community and share the gospel and bring people back to God. David's purpose was for God. David's purpose was for the nation. And thirdly, David's purpose was for the family. We already saw it begin to be mentioned there in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 8, where he begins to talk about the children after you. And then in verse 9, he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Is he speaking to his own son? He's challenging his own son. He's challenging his own family. David's purpose was for the family. David cared, listen, he cared about the spiritual future of his son. You know, the future of our children, the future of the next generation depends on us. You know, what are we going to purpose in our heart to do? What are we willing to do to sacrifice for God? What's in our heart to do for God? You know, I benefited in my generation because the generation that came before me sacrificed and gave and built some things for God. Why? So that I'd still have what I have today. You know what? I wouldn't have had the gospel. I wouldn't have had a church to go to. I wouldn't have grown up like I did if there weren't parents like I had and grandparents like I had that were willing to give and be faithful and sacrifice and do things to build a work for God and to build churches for God. My grandparents, my grandpa and grandma, all the years of their life were given to serve God. They determined when they were young, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And my grandparents served the Lord. They were faithful. They gave. They were witnesses for Christ. And they helped to build a great church in Orillia, Ontario, many, many years ago. My parents got involved in a new church being planted, and they gave and they sacrificed, and they helped to see that church grow and establish and to reach people. And some of you know some of the things my parents did, and they brought hundreds of people to church. That church saw some of its biggest days in those early years where, you know, 1,300 people came to church on Anniversary Sunday, and 1,900 people came to church on Anniversary Sunday, and many people got saved, and many people's lives were changed. And back in those early days, there was men that ended up going across Canada and starting churches. Why? Because God was doing something great, and God did something wonderful. People that gave so that they'd have a building there that they had all those years. And people that gave and sacrificed and faced some of the challenges, court challenges of starting a Christian school. Hey, they did all those things, and there was a generation of people willing to sacrifice. They purposed in their heart. Why? Because I want something for my family. I want something for my children. I want something for a future generation. We're going to have to purpose in our heart like David did. David's purpose in sacrificing and giving and building was not for himself. It was for the Lord. It was for the future of his nation. He cared about his nation. He wanted revival in his nation. And it was for his family. It was for his children. Will we purpose from our hearts to build a strong church or to be used of God or to do the work of God because we care about the future of our children or even grandchildren? David's vision to do something for God caused him to purpose from the heart. And secondly, David's vision to do something for God caused him to participate from the heart. He purposed from the heart, and secondly, he participated from the heart. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And let's look there at verses 2 and 3. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 and 3. BJ, will you stand up and read it for us?
Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house.
Amen. David participated from the heart. David's giving wasn't because, they passed an offering plate. If somebody's watching and I don't participate when it goes by, No, David's participation didn't come because, you know, he felt pressure, or what if somebody did this or that? No, David, you know why David participated in giving? You know why David wanted to give and wanted to see the temple, wanted to see the house of God built? Because he set his affection to it. He set his heart to it. He loved it. He loved God with all his heart. He loved God's work with all his heart. He purposed from the heart. And then he participated from the heart. He participated personally. Personally, over and over again in those verses, you know what you see? You see the words I, and you see the words my. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Down a bit further in verse 3. Moreover, I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have of mine own proper good, which I have given unto the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared. Hey, it was very personal. It wasn't just something, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will get it done. No, I'm going to get it done. I love God and I want the house of God to be built. His heart was in it. He was concerned about it. Somebody has said this, the more passionate our faith, the more persistent our giving. The more passionate our faith, the more persistent our giving. And it is true. The more passionate you are about your faith, the more passionate you are in your love for God, the more concerned you are with something, the more you set your affection to something, the more you'll want to participate in something. You know what? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says this, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Where does the purpose need to come from? It needs to come from our heart. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. If you have a purpose in your heart from God, then you will participate in your heart for God. If you have a purpose in your heart that comes from God, then you will participate in your heart for God. The Bible says in Psalm 96 and verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. David participated personally. He participated personally. Why? Because it was in his heart. It was in his heart. It wasn't something that somebody had to twist his arm to do. No, he had a heart that said, I love God. I want to do something for God. And so from his heart, he desired to give. Notice he participated personally and also he participated affectionately. He participated affectionately. His giving was from the heart. It was from the heart. It proved the sincerity of his love. David said there in 1 Chronicles 29:3, I have set my affection to the house of my God. You know what? If he set his affection to the house of his God, that really means that he chose to do that.
You choose what you're going to set your affection on, right? Some people choose to set their affection on a boy or a girl or their favorite TV program. Oh, it's Blue's Clues Midnight. I don't know what it is. It's whatever. I don't know. I've got to see it every Thursday night or every Tuesday night. I just can't miss the next episode of whatever. Whatever. It's American Idol. That's it. I got to see it every week, or I just got to see that. You know what? Whatever we set our affection on, we won't want to miss it. We'll give what we got to give. You know, some people that love boxing or other types of things, and they have to pay-per-view and stuff like this. It wouldn't matter if a pay-per-view price, if it was going to cost you $100 or $200. There are some people that love, you know, some boxing event or some UFC event so much that, boy, you don't want to miss, you know, this WrestleMania 40 or this whatever. And so they'll pay any price because, you know what? I want to see that. Hey, whatever you set your affection to. Some people, when they get their affection set on, they saw a dress in the mall. Oh, I gotta have that. They set their affection on. You see that pair of shoes? Oh, I've gotta have that pair of shoes. I've gotta have it. I've gotta have it. It doesn't matter if we already have 138 pairs. I've gotta have that pair. Whatever we set our affection to. You know what? We'll give to what we set our affection to. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. There was clearly no doubt that David loved God's house. You would have no doubt about it. You look at this story, you read about David, and you think, wow, that guy loved God. That guy loved his family. That guy loved his nation. That guy was concerned about the future for his children. That guy loved the house of God. That guy loved the Lord. He wanted to do something for God. You'd have no doubt about it. Why? Because it was obvious what he loved. It was obvious in how he gave it. Wow, his affection is set on that. It's not a split that he's got a love for this. No, it's obvious what he loved. Boy, I want it to be obvious that I love the Lord and that I love my family and that I love my church. I love what God does in churches. I love how God can use churches. I love how God can use us to make a difference in a community and around the world. And I want it to be no doubt that from my heart, I love God and I love God's work and I love the church and I love missionaries. My favorite people in the world are missionaries. They are. I love them. I love you, but my favorite people in the world are missionaries because I love their willingness to go to some place and maybe leave their family and go and serve God. And they're incredible people. I love them. I love them. And I want it to be obvious. Listen, it'll be obvious what we love by how we live and what we love and what we give to and what we're concerned about. We live in a society that is turning away from God. And our only hope for revival is going to be in great churches continuing to preach the Word of God. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. I love how God can use churches. I love how God can use us. God can use you. God can use me. You know what? God can use the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here. God can use every single one of us in His work. David participated personally. He participated affectionately. And notice this, he participated sacrificially. He participated sacrificially. Again, look at 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And look at verse number 3. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, because of that choice, because I love my God so much, because I love God's house so much, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house."
So not just things that, you know, maybe he in his,
you know, position as the king was able to take into the treasuries of the kingdom and so on. And let's make sure we get some things prepared. Because listen, this house that they were going to build, it was going to be a glorious house. It was going to be all for the glory of God, and so they were going to make it a magnificent house. And so there were some things that came from the nation, that, you know, from Israel and so on, from the kingdom, if you will. But he said, over and above that, from mine own treasuries, from my own stores, from my own bank accounts, from my own savings, from my own.
He said, I have set my heart to it, and I've given and I've sacrificed from my very own, from what was mine. Why? Because I loved the house of God. I loved the Lord. It was not just the things he provided as kings. He personally invested. He personally contributed. He personally sacrificed to the building of the house of God. Notice verse 5 and 6. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5 and 6. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, those that could fashion things and make things and so on. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who's willing? It says, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. You know what? David led the way in giving, and then the people joined also in their willing giving. They participated affectionately as well. They participated from hearts that loved God, and they personally sacrificed. Why? They saw David. They saw that David loved this thing. David was concerned about this thing. David wanted a house to be built for the glory of God and for the nation and for the children and for the future generations. And David personally got involved in it. And David sacrificed for it. And David loved it. And so they too, they got involved. And they loved it. And they sacrificed. And they gave. Their heart was for it. David's purpose to do something for God caused him to purpose from the heart. And it caused him to participate from the heart. And the last thought I want you to see is this. It caused him to praise God from the heart. It caused him to praise God from the heart. We're going to look down at verse number 9. When God touches your heart and you open your hand, get ready to praise. Get ready to praise. Because you know what? It is a privilege to give. It's an awesome thing. I don't know why God does it, but He does. He does make it very satisfying when you can give and have a part in God's work. When you can do something to help reach the world, or you can do something to see a church get built, or you can do something to help see some missionaries get sent, or you can do something maybe to see some Haitian nationals to start a church or plant a new church. It'll do something. And it'll make you praise God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced. They weren't, oh, we got to give. Oh, we got to give. Can you believe, Pastor? On those mission Sundays, he made us give two offerings. That's ridiculous. What in the world is he doing? No. What did Jesus say? 'Tis more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when it becomes our heart and we set our affection to it, we won't be complaining and, oh my, he thinks we should tithe and he thinks we should, you know, give to the building fund and he thinks we should give to missions and he thinks, you know, he always wants to do something more for missions and what's wrong with him? Maybe it's because it's what I love. Maybe it's because God puts some things in my heart. And I'll do things whether anybody else will or not. But I believe that God wants us to have a heart for His work. And I believe God wants us to have a heart for the nation and a heart for revival and a heart to build something that we can pass something on to future generations. Listen, my parents and my grandparents, the sacrifices that they made was what allowed me to grow up in a great church. The sacrifices that they made was what allowed me to get to have that privilege of going to a Christian school. Their faithfulness and their giving and their sacrifice helped me today. And listen, our giving in this generation will help the next generation if God tarries His coming. It'll help your children. It'll help your grandchildren if Jesus Christ doesn't come back. You can make a difference for them by giving and sacrificing and building a great church. And when you invest in missions and so on, listen, we're doing what we do because we love God and we want to see God do something in our nation. And we love our children and we love our grandchildren and we want to make a difference in this world. Purpose from the heart, participate from the heart, and praise God from the heart. It'll come. Boy, if you have a heart to give, you won't not be able to help but praise God. The people rejoiced. The people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. There wasn't anything wrong about their motives. There wasn't anything, just feeling, we're giving grudgingly. No, they purposed in their heart to give, and so they gave cheerfully. They were joyful about it, and that's all God wants. When you tithe, you can be grumpy if you want to. But whenever you're going to give offerings beyond that, it ought to come from the heart. It ought to come from a cheerful heart. It ought to come from a willing heart. And because these people had a perfect heart, they had a willing heart, they rejoiced. Hey, we get to have a part in building God's house. What a legacy we get to be a part of. All the generations, we get to be the generation. We get to be the ones that we built God's house in Jerusalem. We built it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God uses us to be the ones to build God's house here in this area? Or God uses us to help build some houses for some missionaries. Or God uses us. Listen, I want to be used of God. And these people rejoiced. Rejoice because they got to give. Rejoice because they were getting to have a part in this offerings for the house of God to be built. Rejoicing because they were getting to have a part in giving to the Lord's work. The people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. It wasn't forced. It was with great joy. Look down in verse 17. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. David says, you know what? I know, God, that you look at my heart. And you do want it to be sincere from the heart. He says, as for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. It's not been for ulterior motives. It's not been because I desire anything from the Lord. It's not because I want people to remember how great David was. It's because I love you, God. It's because I love your house and I love your work, and I want to show you how much I love you. In the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. And David had such a joyful heart and rejoiced with great joy because not only was he giving from a cheerful heart, a willing heart, purposing from his heart, participating from his heart, but then he saw, wow, look at your people. Look at your people, God. I see them now, and they've got a heart now too to give, and they want to give and they want to have a part in building your house. Thank you, God. Praise from the heart. We see the praise that came from the people. They offered willingly, they offered sincerely, they offered joyfully. When we sincerely give, we sincerely rejoice. There is great joy in giving when we do it for the Lord. We see the praise from the people, we see the praise for the Lord. They praised the Lord for His greatness and power, verse number 11. They praised the Lord for His provision, verses 12 and 13 and 16. They said, it's God that's given us everything anyways. We won't get into all this, but they praised God for His greatness and His power, verse 11. They praised the Lord for His provision, verse 12, 13, 16. And then they even praised the Lord for the opportunity to give in verse 14. They say, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have they again. Oh, who are we? Why are we the lucky ones? Why are we the ones? I shouldn't use the word lucky, but you understand what I'm saying? Why are we the ones? Why are we the ones so blessed that it's going to get to be us?
our generation that gets to have a part in building the house for God. Wouldn't it be awesome if Christians, we could have that same attitude? You know, wow, God, we're so blessed. We can get to be the ones that can build something here for the generations to come after. For our children or grandchildren. We could be the ones to build a great church. To get a facility. To do the, hey, we can do it so that the future generations can enjoy it and love God and worship God. And the nation can be helped and reached and people can be reached. We get to be the ones. If Christians say, hey, wow, what a blessing. We could be the one to help that missionary. Or we could be the one. Wow, can you imagine one day at the judgment seat of Christ? And we got to be the ones. We got to be one of the churches. It was in our generation that we got to help send Bibles to New Guinea. And see a country be changed. And see young people come to God and learn the Bible and learn to live for God. We got to do that. Woohoo! Who are we that we are so blessed that we get to do that? That was really their attitude. Thank you, God. Oh, we praise you, God. What a blessing that we get to give. It's wonderful. They purposed from the heart and they participated from the heart. And they praised God from the heart. Do you have a heart that wants to praise the Lord? Ask God to touch your heart. And ask God to open your hands. Ask God to give you heart to just love His work. To love Him. To show that love. Ask God to use you. Let's praise the Lord. He wants us to praise Him from the heart.